Welcome to the program. The concept of cloud brokerage has been a little challenging for some agencies to wrap their arms around, and the experts on our panel today will help you do that, get your arms around the idea of cloud brokerage and understand how it'll benefit your operation. My guests today, Maria Rote, the FedRAMP Director at the General Services Administration, Peter Brandano, the Chief Architect for NAFS Information Technology Integration at General Dynamics Information Technology, Keith Trippi, the Executive Director of the Enterprise Development Office in the Office of the Chief Information Officer at the Homeland Security Department, and Stan Kaczmarzyk, the Acting Director of the Office of Strategic Programs at the General Services Administration. Folks, thanks for being here today. Keith, I want to start with you because you've been involved in the cloud movement in the federal government for a long time now at DHS. Do we have a definition that everybody agrees on for cloud computing at this point? We're a couple of years into the cloud movement.
Well, thank you, Francis. I think we do. I think we've got a definition now due to the hard work of NIST, folks at GSA, our organization at DHS, as well as other agencies have kind of gotten together, worked it through with industry, and I feel pretty comfortable that there's a definition around cloud that is pretty defined now, and I feel pretty comfortable that most folks have an understanding of what it is, what are the characteristics, what are the attributes, because quite frankly, a lot of us are consuming those services today. There's a lot of folks out in the commercial sector that are, you know, buying these cloud services. So I would say, yeah, you know, long answer short, I'd say absolutely. I believe there's a standard.
What's been the defining, the consolidator, I guess, for that to get people all on the same page there? Because it took a while.
It did. I would say NIST played a strong leadership role in helping to drive what the standard would be. Because in the federal, you know, ecosystem, you've got to get a lot of folks together to see if you can get to a consensus. And NIST took a strong leadership role by partnering with folks in the other federal agencies to come up with that. And I think the NIST driver, plus some of the acquisitions that GSA has been able to put out, we've taken advantage of those. So it's broader than just a standard. We're actualizing the standard. And I think that over the past 3 years, plus partnerships with folks from industry actually making the investments on their part based on those standards, and then commercial entities and government entities buying those services have helped actualize what the concept of cloud was, which was a little cloudy 4 years ago.
I see what you did there. Yeah. Very nicely done. Maria Rote at GSA, you and your colleagues, Dave McClure and Kathy Conrad and the others who work on FedRAMP, have been instrumental by all accounts in making sure that that definition is easily available to other agencies in a replicable fashion. Tell me about the role that FedRAMP plays in agencies being able to buy cloud services.
So if you take that NIST definition one step further, not just cloud computing, but if you look at how they define infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, and software as a service, we've done a lot of work over the last year and a half accrediting the infrastructure as a service providers. So as they've been moving through the program, agencies are now starting to take advantage of that. And really, you know, those definitions of infrastructure as a service, you know, agents say, okay, I only want to buy infrastructure. That's all I want. And then I'll put my applications on top of that. So, you know, over the last year, really moving those cloud providers through and really that definition of cloud computing, setting those standards and with those cloud providers, you know, the cloud providers really had a lot of work to do on their end as well to get ready to offer services, not just to industry, but to federal government as well. So with NIST setting those standards on what is cloud computing, what is infrastructure as a service, as well as platform software as a service, that really helped drive the movement and is helping really to mature the federal government as it moves forward to take advantage.
And I imagine that has made it easier for agencies then to understand the possibility. What is this really going to do for me on the back end?
Yeah, from a security perspective, really the FedRAMP program really drove, you know, here's the standards, here's the minimum baseline that the cloud providers need to meet, and the agencies are really coming around and trusting what that security posture is for those cloud providers, because initially, you know, agencies did not trust that security of the cloud providers. They were saying, oh, they can't do it as good as we can. But it turns out the cloud providers are actually very good at security, you know, and it's you know, they're good at technology and really in implementing the processes around that. The cloud providers have really made a lot of inroads and working through that. And it's really been advantageous to the federal government to really work through our program, do the security once, and just continue to leverage that work.
So, Stan, your colleagues at GSA and the FedRAMP department have made it possible for agencies to figure out what's available, kind of set the stage for that. Now, you and your team are making it possible for the agencies to actually go get it. Talk about that.
Sure. We've put in place a number of acquisition vehicles specifically geared towards cloud computing. One was a blanket purchase agreement for infrastructure as a service, which one of my customers is sitting right next to me, DHS. And most recently, email as a service. And adoption of that has been kind of slow, mostly due to timing of, you know, agencies' current systems, contracts coming to, you know, into expiring. Mm-hmm. So, but we also we can provide cloud computing services through all of our contract vehicles. We can get them directly through Schedule 70. You can get them from our GWACs, from Alliant. Alliant Small Business is a really good choice. So, we're going forward. We're not looking so much at, you know, developing boutique acquisition vehicles for cloud computing. We're looking to help agencies use our existing vehicles to acquire cloud services.
Mm-hmm. Peter Brandano of GDIT, tell me about what you're seeing. Keith's obviously looking at what he's doing from a DHS perspective, but across the spectrum, we talked at the beginning of our conversation about the concept of cloud brokerage. Mm-hmm. That appears to be the next generation here. What does that mean, and why has that been a little tricky for agencies to understand and figure out how it will work for them?
Well, in terms of what it means, I think that Keith pointed out that NIST did a great job of defining cloud, and they've also done a great job of defining cloud brokerage. So I definitely encourage people to take a look at the special publication 500-299. That covers the definition. We looked at it, we as a large systems integrator, a global business, have covered just about the entire spectrum of cloud from infrastructure to platform to software. And we looked at the next role, which is the broker, as an obvious evolution of what we've always done as a large systems integrator. So we look at taking the products from folks, you know, like Amazon and Terramark and Savvis and other large cloud providers and small cloud providers that might provide a niche, and integrating those and aggregating them and in some cases intermediating them. So, for instance, adding security on top of an email service, for instance, and being able to offer that as a service to the government, and then also to generate competition really among those providers to be able to keep the cost down and really increase the capability of all of the providers to sort of raise the bar. So we see that as our role to come in as a product agnostic large systems integrator to bring a marketplace and to use Keith's terminology, a buffet table of offerings to our customers and let them decide. So we put the investment in up front, build the marketplace, and allow the government to come in and decide whether or not they want to take advantage of it.
So, Keith, as the customer, what's the benefit to you? These companies that Peter will represent have gone through Maria's FedRAMP program. They're accredited. You know, as the customer, they've met all the certifications and so on. But what's the benefit to you?
So I think that's really the story of we've gotten into the cloud space. We have, you know, more than 12 at the department. We've cut our teeth on it. We have acquisitions that have been put in place leveraging our data centers plus the public cloud thanks to GSA. Now we're ready for the next thing. So we're looking over the horizon and saying, how do we solve a couple of these business problems? And that's really, I think, where the magic of when we term cloud broker, where that's going to come in. One, speed to market. I always call it the Silicon Valley folks are able to get to market a little bit quicker. Can we bring the Silicon Valley to the East Coast? And that concept would be is how quickly can we have compute services and data services on a buffet table that allows us to very quickly have teams that could stand up and build capabilities. And if within a week we find out we're headed in the right direction, we'll add a little bit more. If we find out that that's not the path that we want to go, we'll learn very early. And again, this is a business model discussion of the concept of if you fail early. Right? You mm-hmm. fail early. What did you learn from that? And that, how does that help you move forward? So the innovation concept is where I think will play very heavily in the success of cloud brokerage. Time to market, reducing the upfront capital costs. We're all aware of the budget climate that's upon us now, and that's not changing anytime soon. So we're going to have a lot less capital to build new things. So if there are pre-built services that industry has already capitalized and put out on the buffet table, our time to get to market and our cost to market, the same as it's thought of in the private sector, what's the cost to market and time to market and what's the ROI? Those can be more quickly done in this new business model than in the others. A couple other quick items, flexibility. Imagine a world where you've got a buffet table and you can choose one day to, if you want to eat the steak, you can eat the steak. If you want chicken, you can eat the chicken. Your choice. it's flipping the business model to a consumer model, the same as it is in the private sector. And that's really one of the more enticing aspects of this is it's pull economics and it's consumer-driven model, vice an inside-out business model. And that's, I think, another benefit to this model. And then kind of lastly would be our ability to move laterally. The stickiness that some federal agencies face today on IT, this will help loosen some of that up, and our interoperability to be able to go from one provider to the other if the service isn't what we need it to be, we'll have that flexibility in this new business model. And so I think the transformational aspects are more around the value proposition to the citizens, because we know there's great IT out there. We just want to get it on the table, on the buffet table, so we can consume them more easily.
Maria, I want to connect what Keith just talked about with something that you touched on earlier when you talked about the scope of FedRAMP, and that is the idea that I still talk to people in the government in decision-making capacities who are still thinking of the cloud as storage, not a place where I do things. You talked about the applications and the fill-in-the-blank as a service concept that some agencies are moving toward. Keith is one of those kind of on the edge of that. But fill in that capability piece of it a little bit more for me, because that still seems to be a sticking point for some folks.
So, you know, when you're looking at the cloud model, it's more than just using the cloud as a storage. You know, really moving your applications out there and taking advantage of, you know, those virtual environments. When you look at emergency management, emergency response type applications and activities, you know, you look at Hurricane Sandy, how fast did emergency response have to ramp up, add people, grow their servers, add, you know, 10,000 users to whether it's email, the applications. You can very quickly build that up and build that and break it back down again. Okay, we're sending all these people back home, don't need them for response. And agencies need to really be able to take advantage of that through, you know, through the broker, through the integration. I want to order up what I need. Here's what I need. Build it up. Break it back down again. And when you look at some of the agencies are really being innovative, when you look at, you know, agile development, moving through that agile development process very quickly, you build something up, test it, develop it, roll it out. And it's not just using the cloud for storage, but using its capability to really drive the applications and really, you know, in like I said, in emergency response, you know, build something up. I don't need it anymore. Turn it back off again. Instead of building something up in the traditional sense of data centers, I'm going to buy all this infrastructure, and then 6 months later, I don't need it anymore. Mm-hmm. So a lot of capability is out there in the cloud, and I think agencies really need to think through how they're best going to be able to use that.
Stan, I want to ask you this question as an end user and not as an acquisition guy. GSA is really eating its own dog food here. You've moved applications to the cloud, the IT shop has. What's it like working in the cloud as an end user? Your email is in the cloud. You have virtual desktops now that you're able to access your desktop from pretty much any device and see everything there and use everything. That's all cloud-based. What is that like on the end user piece for you?
Well, it's very efficient. It's very fast. When we moved to Google Mail, I had 2% of my storage capacity used up. Now I'm up to like 40. So I obviously have a lot of email.
Time for cleanup.
But yeah, we've moved in GSA to a mobile work environment. So we work in multiple environments. Work from home. We use hoteling space in our headquarters building. So you know, we need to be able to access our technology from anywhere, and needs to be quick and needs to be reliable. And I do believe that cloud-based services helps facilitate that.
Peter, what's the education process like as you go out and talk to people who are asking the kinds of questions that our other folks are addressing here? What do people ask you most often that they need to know, or that they're not sure about, or questions about capabilities?
Well, it depends. I mean, there are some customers that we talk to that know what they want, so they'll tell us straight out, we just want, you know, X provider. Others really have very little understanding of the cloud, so we start with, again, NIST and giving them that definition. Then usually the next questions that come up are, you know, how do I know whether or not it's secure enough, and how do I know whether or not it's going to meet my SLAs? You know, they hear about in the news some of these cloud providers going down frequently, and you know, they want to know how they're going to avoid that. And you know, typically we help them to, you know, to put together cross provider solutions for high availability, those sorts of things. A lot of questions come up around contracting. That's been a big one. There are huge gaps between what we're being asked to do for the government and what the cloud service providers are willing to provide. So, you know, as a broker, I think that's a key role that we provide, is to take on some of the risk between those gaps, you know, and things like SLA commitments and, you know, indemnity and so forth.
The idea of that gap gets to a lot of the questions that I hear about this concept, which is, if my cloud goes down, who do I yell at, is really question number one. Keith, when you first got into this idea and first looked at this idea and thought about going in on this pilot program, how did you get those questions answered? Who was the answerer? The vendors who ultimately provide the service to the broker, the broker, your acquisition people? Where did those answers come from?
That's a great point. And the concept of this is, and some folks look at this cloud and this new business model as a brand new business model. And I would argue what's old is new again. The accountability, whether it's on the security side or the delivery side for our clients and our customers and the government, the accountability lies with the government. That's not going to change. The business model that we've had for years, I mean, when we contract out IT, we'd go to a large SI and they would do a lot of the IT, traditional IT work. That model's changing a little bit, but it's still the usual folks that are providing a lot of these different services. The accountability lies with the federal entities and organizations that are issuing the contracts. When there's a problem, I'll give you the flag goes off at 4 in the afternoon, it doesn't work, whatever it is. The same folks, when I say same folks, there are folks that are running the servers, there are folks that are running the application, there are folks on the Fed side that are managing it, change control and security. There's a business process associated with how do you resolve the issue. The players may change underneath it, but still the business model hasn't drastically changed when there's a problem. The feds are still going to drive getting those issues resolved if it involves multiple different stakeholders. If we're buying a pure play service and we've only got a provider, say it's Amazon or a Salesforce, and they're providing soup to nuts, then that responsibility is going to be on our broker when we get to that point, working with the vendor, because that's where the SLAs are going to be set up. So it depends on the ecosystem of the solution set. So if there's multiple providers, the feds are going to be more involved. If it's happening local at, say, a Salesforce, and we don't have any other vendors that are building services on that for that particular customer, that's going to be on Salesforce to resolve working with our broker.
And we'll dig more into the roles and responsibilities and so on when we come back. You're listening to the General Dynamics Information Technology Panel discussion, Government Cloud Broker, Who, What, When, Where, Why on Federal News Radio. We'll be right back.